Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. In the fullness of thy grace, to thy house I will repair, a bowing toward thy holy place, in thy fear will worship there. And what follows, Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 18, the verses 1 through 27. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 18, the first 27 verses. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things, that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then ask ye them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which ye spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, taking a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. And now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? And now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Thus far the scripture reading. Hope to remember in prayer Victoria, the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Ryan and Buck, who was still in the hospital. Let us ask the Lord for a blessing. Most merciful God of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee to grant unto us and our children another Lord's Day and privilege to come up to thy house of prayer. Thou was granted in the past week that a day was set aside where we could come up to thy house, a special day of prayer. But Lord, if it was only right, then every day should be a day of prayer, then especially every Lord's Day should be a day of prayer. And to that end, may it please thee to grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication, but also every day a day of thanksgiving, also each Lord's Day morning, when we may meet one another in thy house, then thou giveth and then thou was granted in the past week, so many reasons to acknowledge and thank thee, then it is necessary that we may have eyes to see it, hearts to be humbled thereunder, and a tongue to praise thee, with the impression who we are, what we remain, our sins which are great and manifold, sins which need to be pardoned. Lord, thou knowest in this past week how we have lived with thy mercies, and how we have lived with our sins, and how we have come up to thy courts. Then we may be in the passion weeks. Ah, Lord, wilt thou come down with thy spirit and bless thy word, where that need, that deep need of the passion of thy dear Son has never been experienced in the heart. May it then be experienced in this day when we live under the truth. Then we know our sins, hopefully many times even with our mind, that we are given to contemplate our sins with an impression that we are traveling to eternity and that it shall be so terrible to appear before the judge with all of our sins, original and actual. But, ah, Lord, then it is so indispensable that by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that we are given to experience that godly sorrow that leadeth to a true repentance, found beggars at thy footstool, that in truth and uprightness, that the prayer of the publican become ours. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. To that end, Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may work lovingly, irresistibly in the hearts of young and old, that sinners may become sinners indeed. And Lord, where thou wast savingly begun, wilt thou grant a special blessing in this passion season, for a people that have learned and are given to learn more and more, that with all their works and repentance, that they are a sinner still in the way of experience, even seeming to become a greater sinner, exercised with thy justice, where thy justice needs to be satisfied by us or by another. Ah, Lord, grant it, then by the eyes of faith, that they may be given to behold that Lamb without blemish, oh, that was stained red, who was suffered and died, the substitute for his people, where he has satisfied thy justice, where he has paid the price, and where he sets his people free. Lord, wilt thou then grant eyes to behold, faith to embrace, and that thou wilt grant unto thy people the further leadings, and not only to be given to behold it, but to embrace it by true saving faith, by the work of thy Holy Spirit, our Lord. Be then a surprising God. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee, all thy servants, elders, and deacons, and wilt thou remember the student in this day, wilt thou grant thy gracious help. May in this day the kingdom of Satan be disturbed, may it be diminished, may it be broken down, and the glorious kingdom of thy Son, Jesus Christ, may it be enlarged, may it be magnified, and that thy church may be more the salt and the light of the earth. Lord, remember the many temporal needs amongst us. Then we commend unto thee all the mourning families. May the callings be sanctified. Wilt thou uphold them? Remember the sick and the afflicted, the young daughter that underwent surgery in this week and that remains in the hospital, our Lord. May it please thee to grant strengthening and healing, and that soon she may be privileged to return home. Wilt thou remember the family, father and mother, the whole family circle? Then thou wert speaking unto her, my daughter, give me thy heart. Lord, may this calling be used in her young life. Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care, continual pain, weariness of the body, cares and fears? May thou grant them that special place at thy footstool, and when it seems no answer, that they become not overly discouraged. Lord, wilt thou remember them all? Wilt thou remember the elderly ones, our Bethesda, their residents, and those that lovingly care for them, those that may still go in and out? They have become old. Eternity is drawing nigh. Above all things, do grant that one thing needful, that they may be given to meet their Maker in righteousness and peace. Lord, we now humbly ask thee for thy gracious help in this morning. Wilt thou strengthen out of Zion, send help from the sanctuary? Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers? May many empty vessels be found amongst us, O Lord. and those that are so full of the world and of self-righteousness, may they be emptied in beginning, but also by continuance. And, Lord, when there have come up empty vessels indeed, where it seems that they have nothing what they thought they had, that they cannot hold on to it, well, thou then remember poor sinners, as thou wast promised in thy word, that the thirsty and hungry, that they shall be satisfied with the good of thy house to drink of those pleasures evermore. Wilt thou be a surprising God? Wilt thou remember all the listeners, help the little boys and the little girls? Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance, those lawfully hindered, when they may listen along in their dwellings? Wilt thou also grant a blessing there, Lord? Nothing to plead upon. Wilt thou look down upon us poor sinners in thy great mercy? Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 47, the stanzas 3-7. They cried, and trusting in thy name, were saved and were not put to shame. But in the dust my honor lies, where all reproach and all despise. And what follows, Psalter 47, the stanzas 3-7. And this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in John 18, the verses 19 through 23. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me?" Our text words speak of Jesus examined in the house of Annas, with four thoughts. In the first place, abound Jesus before Annas. Secondly, a question Jesus by Annas. Thirdly, an answering Jesus to Annas. And fourthly, a smitten Jesus before Annas. Jesus examined in the house of Annas. Abound Jesus. A question Jesus. An answering Jesus. And a smitten Jesus. Thus first, abound Jesus before Annas. Beloved congregation, in the Passion Weeks, then we are given to see in special ways what a terrible thing that sin is. Then rather that the Lord let it go unpunished, that for the people of God, he has punished the same in his beloved Son. And how is it now with our sins in these Passion Weeks? Of course, when we have the Bible, and even those that have not the Bible, then all mankind is created with an innate knowledge that there is a higher supreme being and a certain sense of good and evil. But more so, at least it should be, is that so, congregation? Do we think much of our sin, our guilt, and also the punishment required? And does that bring us on our knees? But only a knowledge in our mind, in our head, that is 1 foot too high. It is necessary, but it is necessary that it becomes a saving knowledge wrought by the Holy Spirit, and that we learn the exceeding sinfulness of sin and that with all our efforts, we are a sinner still, and in the way of experience by the deeper uncovering, that we even become a greater sinner. Has that now taken place, congregation? That is so needful that we learn that the cry is born of for one that may stand in between, that daysman, as I read in Job 9 verse 33, that can lay his hands upon both. And now in this chapter, then we find a bound Jesus. Oh, we have heard it. Judas has preached, has cast out devils, and he was given to betray the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss. Oh, after Jesus has been in the Garden of Gethsemane, there he is crawled as a worm, as I read in Psalm 22 verse 6, where he has prayed thrice concerning that cup, if it be possible that it would depart from him, nevertheless not as I will, but as thou wilt, as that willing Savior, love an eye upon his Father's glory, and love for that chosen church, which he would receive as a reward upon his finished meritorial work in the state of his humiliation. And therefore he has taken that cup, and he would empty it to the bottom. And then we have read that they have bound the Lord Jesus Christ. Who has done that? Then we read of both the Romans and the Jews as representatives of the whole world. And they were people that have witnessed wonderful things, heard the preaching of Jesus, seen his miracles. They have experienced this power, because we have heard it. They have all fallen backwards and privileged to arise again. They have seen it. They have witnessed it. After Peter with the sword has cut off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest, that Jesus has placed that ear back on the servant, perfectly healed, then we would think that such a people, that they would have all fallen on their knees, and that they would have asked Jesus, "Jesus, wilt thou now be our King and our Savior?" But instead, then those wicked hands, they have bound that innocent Jesus. How is it with us, congregation? Under the Lord's goodness, the Lord's callings, the Lord's wonders, have we now learned to bow? Or can we continue on that broad way in our sins? What is now necessary? That we learn, well, not the Romans, not the Jews, but my sins. Has that been learned, people? Have we learned to weep concerning not only our sins, but also concerning the love and the willingness of the Savior because what precious words he has said to that band. If thou seek me, let these go their way. But we must continue. Then concerning this portion of scripture, then it is necessary that we lay it beside the other gospels. And now concerning the high priest, it was commanded in the Old Testament that the high priest would be high priest till his death. But in the time of the New Testament, then the church was not an easy time, and there are different thoughts. In Luke 3 verse 2 we read of that time Annas and Caiaphas being high priest. And then there are different thoughts. Father Jacob has prophesied in Genesis 49 that the scepter would be departing, that the Roman government also had certain jurisdiction who would be high priest. Some that think that they took turns. It is clear in this chapter that with the death of Jesus, that Caiaphas was high priest, but many still viewed as Annas as high priest. We would say emeritus perhaps in this year, and that he still had a certain authority, that many looked up to him perhaps asking advice. And so in this chapter, when we compare the Gospels, because in the other three Gospels, there we find of the examination before Caiaphas and all what has transpired, but that was a different examination than in our text words, than with the other examinations that many times Jesus has kept silence, except when it concerned his sonship and the glory of his Father and the salvation of the church. But in our text words, then Jesus was given to speak. When we consider concerning the Passover, then I think our boys and girls know it. Then before a lamb could be sacrificed, then that lamb had to be brought to the priest. And then the priest would examine that lamb. And if there was anything wrong, even the smallest blemish, then the priest would say to such a father, this lamb may not be sacrificed because it must be a perfect lamb. And now in our text words, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, then as the Lamb of God, then he was brought from one place, one court to another, that he was examined whether there was any blemish in him. And then, with all those court proceedings, then we may speak of three examinations before the church. First, Annas, as in our text. Then before Caiaphas, later during the night, and then early in the morning, then Jesus was brought before the whole Sanhedrin to be officially condemned. And then three times in the civil courts, first before Pontius Pilate, then he was led to Herod, and then brought back to Pontius Pilate to be officially condemned. But all those courts, they have found no blemish. Many have witnessed that he was perfect, no sin. Oh, what a preaching for souls that are burdened with their sins, that have learned that they cannot pay. Oh, then in the Passion weeks, when he is led from one courtroom to another, then it may be declared, oh, burdened souls, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Secondly, a question, Jesus, by Annas. Then Jesus, a preliminary examination, when Jesus was arrested and bound, then they have sent messengers to members of the Sanhedrin that they would have to come out of bed to sacrifice a night's rest, because Jesus has been arrested, has been bound, and he must be examined, and if possible, to be condemned and put to death before the multitude would arise in the morning hour. And then we can understand it has taken a certain time to gather all the Sanhedrin together. And then the question was, what must they now do with Jesus? And then in the meantime, they have brought him to the house of Annas, we would say high priest emeritus. There are different ones that think that the house of Annas and the house of Caiaphas, they were adjacent to one another, and that in the middle was that court where Peter has denied his master. And nevertheless, it is implied in the scriptures that he was first brought to the house of Annas, there examined, because in verse 24 we read, now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And now concerning the examination, it was not an honest trial, was to try to ensnare Jesus in his words, that they would have certain evidence when the Sanhedrin would come together that he could be quickly condemned. Thus, not an honest trial, but with a plot. How often it has happened in the time of persecution, the time of the Reformation, when the saints were brought before the courts, that it was with the intention to condemn and not to honestly examine. And then in the house of Annas, then there were two special questions asked. The first, concerning his disciples. And the second, concerning his doctrine. Oh, concerning his disciples. What a painful question that was. As fathers and mothers can understand it, when they have wayward sons and daughters, hope, young people, that we do not become such. In the world, under a deceitful religion, and then when those parents receive visitors, and then of course, ask about the family circle, about the children, how is it, all under the truth, how painful that can be. They have asked Jesus concerning his disciples, how many followers, And how many disciples do you have? How many did you have? 12 disciples who have been called have preached. But one of my disciples has betrayed me. What about the other 11? Where are they? You are bound. And thou standeth alone. What a painful question. Peter denying the other ones have fled. Ask about the disciples. Are they faithful disciples? Are they really willing to suffer when it comes to the point? Concerning those disciples, how is it with their love, with their faith, with their hope, with their zeal? As Sanhedrin, do we really have much to fear concerning the followers, the disciples? Are they willing to fight, willing to strive? What deep questions. But not only concerning those 12 disciples, all concerning the people of God. What a piercing question. And then we see, oh Jesus, he has kept silence. Concerning his disciples, how true. Also in our text words, that he has loved them to the end. Ask concerning his disciples, concerning their prayer life, concerning their promises. Oh, they have all stated that they would strive. Peter's even said that he would be willing to die. Ask concerning his disciples and now for that people. And that becomes the wonder for the church, that for such a people that Jesus, he has stood to be examined by Annas the high priest, that for such a people he was willing to suffer, to die, and to go to the cross. Oh, for those disciples, for us true church. I read in Hebrews 12 verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Oh, those disciples, that was the bride, has filled Christ with joy. Oh, it is true. Not given an answer. Annas, that band would not understand. Christ has said in Matthew 11, the verses 25 and 26, that they are hid for the wise and prudent, but revealed unto babes. All for the church, which he would receive as a reward. As we read in Psalm 2 verse 8, upon his meritorial work, that he would receive that black bride, and that in the way of suffering and death, that he would merit those precious gifts for them, which would be given to them by the work of the Spirit of Christ, that he would bestow them with the precious gifts of faith, hope, and love. Oh, that they would receive the spirit of prayer and of supplication, that the king would endow them with those precious gifts. Oh, then do we not read in Hebrews 11 of the heroes of faith? Oh, do we not read in the scriptures of a Ruth with that precious choice? Do we not read of a Daniel, oh, those three friends in Daniel 3, that they were willing to go into that fiery furnace? Do we not read of a Daniel 6, in Daniel 6, that he was willing to enter into the lion's den because he must be a praying Daniel? But concerning the disciples, Jesus has not answered, but it was the joy that was set before him, that black bride, that he was willing to go the way to the cross. And then we read in our text words, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples. Must have been a puzzle, because Jesus had disciples. And now when he was arrested, that all those disciples have fled. Ask of his disciples and of his doctrine. And concerning his doctrine, then Jesus has not been silent. Oh, it was in love for his church that he has not elaborated about those disciples, what a people they were. They would not understand it, but also the blessings that his people would receive. And Jesus answered him. And now concerning those questions, do you also have those questions, congregation? About disciples and about the doctrine. Makes a big difference how we ask those questions. Can be out of curiosity. Can also be that we can find reasons to excuse ourselves for being unconverted, living in the world, continuing in our sinful ways. But there is a people that have those questions that come out of the bottom of their heart, and that is concerning both questions. They have questions about those disciples, whether those disciples, they have the same riddles, questions, perplexities that they have, whether those disciples, they have such an evil heart as they have, and, oh, the question, how those disciples, what they have seen, what they have learned, and how disciples may be saved. Oh, they have deep and sincere questions concerning the doctrine. Those disciples, they learn that they are so ignorant in heavenly ways. Oh, how they are given to search and given to beg concerning the truth of those doctrines. Because Christ has said to his church, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set thee free. Thus that is such a difference, how those questions are asked. How is in your heart, congregation, concerning those questions? And now Jesus, concerning that second point, then he has given a clear answer. I have ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple. whether the Jews always resort. He has spoken positively of his nation. He has not said, I have spoken in the synagogue and in the temple, but there are many Jews that do not keep the Sabbath day and that do not come to the synagogue and to the temple. No, for the Jewish nation, they have seen the importance and the blessing of always coming to the synagogue and to the temple. Whether the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing, must understand it rightly. There were times that Jesus has spent alone with his disciples, also declaring, interpreting the parables, but what is meant that Jesus in public with the disciples, it was always the same doctrine, the same truth, law and gospel, how it is possible that a poor sinner may be saved. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Thus we are speaking of our third point, on answering Jesus. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have declared. Thus a very plain, a very honest answer. Then Jesus has said, ask those that are present with me, the scribes, the priests, they have heard me. I have openly declared the full counsel of God. What an accusation against the leaders of the people, of those that were present. They have heard his preaching. They have seen his miracles. Recently, when he was even arrested, and yet no bowing but enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was it a desire of the leaders of the Jews to put Jesus to death? Oh, there were different reasons. Was jealousy that so many people have followed Jesus. But also Matthew 21 verse 45, when Jesus has spoken of that parable of that vineyard with that husbandman, that they perceived that he spake of them, and to that end, the bitter enmity, always a fruit of our deep fallen Adam, where we read in Romans 8 verse 7, that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Ask them, I have said nothing in secret. Then we read in Isaiah 45 verse 19 that the prophet has also spoken, I have not spoken in secret. That is the word of the Lord. Thus the children of Israel in the time of the prophet, they could not say that they did not know it. And so it was also in the time of Jesus. And so it is also for us and our children, that if we go lost, congregation, it shall all be our own fault. And now the prophet has said, and that was for encouragement, I have not spoken in secret. in a dark place of the earth, I said not unto the children of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Do you hear, congregation? That the prophet has said that those seekers, they shall not seek in vain. Our forethought, a smitten Jesus before Annas, but let us first sing. Psalter 253, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. O Lord, thou judge of all the earth, to whom all vengeance doth belong. Arise and show thy glory forth, requite the proud, condemn the wrong. And what follows, Psalter 253, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
Jesus examined in the house of Annas. Bound Jesus, questioned Jesus, unanswering Jesus, and now fourthly, smitten Jesus. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. 'Tis especially mentioned one of the officers that stood by. One of the officers that has went with Judas, with the Romans, and with the band. That has witnessed many wonderful things in the Garden of Gethsemane. How that Jesus has freely given himself over. Has witnessed that he has fallen backwards as dead to the ground. And he was privileged to stand on his feet by renewal. An officer that has witnessed that miraculous healing of the servant Malchus, the servant of the high priest. And that such an officer has smitten the Lord Jesus Christ. That face, the face of Jesus that has wept over Jerusalem. That compassionate face that has done so many miracles. The mouth which has spoken such encouraging words to poor and needy sinners. The mouth of Jesus which has instructed the multitude. That face of that precious Savior was smitten by one of the officers. We read the palm of the hand. The margin in our Bible could also be understood by a rod. In Micah 5 verse 1, we read, they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon his cheek. What an event that has taken place was the first blow. Jesus would receive many more that Jesus has received. In Isaiah 53 verse 4, we read that the church may say, we did esteem him smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And when Jesus was smitten, we do not read that there were any that have stood up for Jesus. None that have come to his offense. What profound things have transpired in the house of Annas during the night watches before he would be led to other courts. And now concerning this history, then we do well to examine our hearts. Was in the night watches. They were indeed busy with Jesus. They really did not know what to do with Jesus. Same with Pontius Pilate. He is later asked what I must do with Jesus. And how is it now with us? Of course, Lord is given the night to sleep. There are those, of course, whose labors require to work during the night. And it is a great privilege, a great blessing, when the Lord does grant rest for our body and for our mind. But may I ask you, are you ever busy with Jesus during the night watches? Can also be as these officers that we smite, that even in the late hours of the night, that we are seeking out sinful things and vanities, where we are smiting the Lord. What a privilege it is when the Lord grants by His Spirit that we may be busy with a need for Jesus, exercised with our sins, and that many a sigh is sent up to the living God, asking, begging for the pardoning of our sin, a need for the Lamb of God that has been led to the slaughter, where He was so willing to suffer. And then further, then Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but of well, why smitest thou me? That is a question. Why smitest thou me? A question. By the word of God, by the law of God, where the Lord has given His word as a precious gift, where the Lord has given His law in His goodness and in His wisdom for our good and for our protection. Then what a question. Why smitest thou me? What is our life, congregation, in respect to the word of God and the law of God? Do we willingly, knowingly trample upon the same? Why smitest thou me? Also a good question of our conscience. Still a blessing when our conscience may speak, when it may remain tender, but when we refuse to hearken, to listen, why smitest thou the conscience when it speaketh? But when we try to silence it, as it were, why smitest thou me? Question. By the living God, who grants so many mercies, is so good. And then, that with our deeds, with our refusal to bow, that we slap the Lord in His face. A question. Why smitest thou me? A loving Savior that proffers peace and pardon, and that we trample upon His word, upon His institutions, but also when we count the sacrifice of Christ as an unclean thing. why smitest thou me? And that is what the true child of God now learns. And that in the beginning, when the gospel may be opened, they learn what it is to count the blood of Christ an unclean thing. Then they learn not only the sin against the law, but the sin against the gospel. Oh, they learn that they have smitten him by their sins. Oh, the willing Savior concerning those disciples, Adam and Eve, Abram in a far country, a Ruth and Moab, also a Samuel, Obadiah that feared the Lord from their youth, publicans and harlots, a Saul, a persecutor, also Timothy, all learned the same matters, what sinners they are. And when the gospel may be opened, eyes of faith to see and embrace it, that precious Jesus, that he was willing to be smitten, that he was willing to receive the stripes which we deserved eternally, that the church may go free. Why smitest thou me? Also in the further ways, after having received so much grace, so many blessings, so much goodness, and then in the way of ingratitude, in the way of sin, why smitest thou me? Ah, then it cannot be different, that there shall be times, as I read in Zechariah 12, verse 10, that they with weeping, that they shall look on him whom they have pierced. Oh, in our text words, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in John 11, verse 36, after we read in verse 35 that Jesus wept, that they have said, behold, how he loved him. That is declared in our text words. Oh, that love from eternity, the fullness of time, in the palace of Annas, in the house of Annas, in his further suffering, and he loves them still, because I read in John 13, verse 1, that he loveth them till the end. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may we each be given to examine our hearts very closely and very honestly concerning what we have read and heard in this morning hour, concerning the examination and the house of Annas. Also concerning the question concerning the disciples, whether by grace we may be included, but also concerning the truth concerning the doctrine, and then the piercing question, why smitest thou me? Lord, may it please thee to grant the application. Ah, be the after preacher, where there is no room for the passion of thy dear Son, Ah, wilt thou make room in this day? And where thou hast begun, wilt thou grant revelation and grant application, and that true bewonderment that become small, that humility. Lord, watch over us in the continuance of this day. Grant traveling mercies. May we be given to keep the Sabbath day holy. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 427, the fifth stanza, the stone the builders had rejected and in contempt refused to own, to their dismay has been selected to be the foremost cornerstone. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a Classes Far West prayer service on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. in Lethbridge with Reverend Nanhut officiating. The Classes meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, March 15 at 9:30 a.m. Psalter 427, stanza 5. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.